One of the top-rated films of 2015 is a unique look at a middle-aged and listless self-help author who drifts through a world of undifferentiated characters until the day he finds a young woman with a face and a voice unlike any other. The film is titled Anomalisa, and among the many superlative elements that make the film stand out is its use of stop-motion animation. I'm Charles Horak, you're listening to On Film. Today we discuss the long creative journey and incredible success story of the R-rated stop-motion animated film, Anomalisa, with one of the film's executive producers and former El Pasoan, James Fino. Anomalisa opened in El Paso yesterday and is nominated for an Academy Award, and I'm very pleased to have James Fino back on the program. Good morning.
Good morning.
I should mention you're joining us by phone from Los Angeles, and that, full disclosure, we've been childhood friends and been watching movies together since grade school, I think, so I'm not completely partial to this work, but I have to say that I don't think my judgment is clouded, that it's really something special. Congratulations.
Thanks so much. We're really excited about it. And you're right, we've been friends since like first grade, watching every kind of movie possible, including lots of stop-motion animation along the, you know, the timeline, the classic Ray Harryhausen stop-motion and Rankin-Bass stop-motion. So I think it's dear to our hearts. And I think that's also why this movie is so special to me personally, because it is in that magical world of stop motion.
Yeah, and just a few weeks ago, I was out in Los Angeles and got to celebrate with you on a certain Thursday when the Oscar nominations were revealed, and Anomalisa is nominated for a Best Animated Feature. Is that something that you woke up early for? You set your alarm, or did your phone just start buzzing?
I didn't have to set my alarm. I woke up immediately. My body just woke up at 4 a.m., and I camped in front of my television just, like, waiting to hear what was going on. And when that was announced, it was just amazing. It's like the sun had already come out, and the day had already, halfway through, and people were already texting me and posting on Facebook and everything. It was really exciting. And exactly 1 month before, on December 14th, Anomalisa had its red carpet event at the Grauman's Egyptian Theater, the classic theater on Hollywood Boulevard. And just down the street at Grauman's Chinese Theater, a certain Star Wars movie was having its red carpet. So it was like an amazing event in Hollywood for me and for my friends that all this was happening at the same time. So we're just really enjoying and celebrating the achievement and the acknowledgement most of all.
What a ride last year was, too. The film debuted at Telluride and then went on to the Venice Film Festival, where it was the first animated film to win the Grand Jury Prize. Then an amazing run at the Toronto Film Festival, where Paramount Pictures bought the film and began an awards campaign. Three and a half years ago when we were starting this, this could not have been on the radar. And I'm sure there was many moments along the way that everyone was wondering, would you ever get this finished?
Yeah, I mean, it was a very difficult film from the get-go just to manage the not only the vision, but really everything about it, the production, the scheduling, the financing, everything like that, because it was an entirely independently made movie, and that was on purpose. From the very beginning when we established our studio, Starburns Industries, we pledged that it would be a studio where artists could come in, develop their stories, tell their stories, and purely execute them, not be managed by notes by a studio or a network, anything like that. That meant that we would have to get independent financing that was not contingent upon us having to deliver a certain thing to whoever helped us finance. So at the time, Kickstarter was barely kind of getting started and kind of legitimate for raising funds for projects, but nobody had really raised funds through Kickstarter for any movies. We just needed to raise enough initial capital for development. So I recommended Kickstarter. We all kind of like, hemmed and hawed about it just because nobody else had used it yet. So we were like, well, you know what, let's try it. And if it works, great. Dan Harmon and Dino Stamatopoulos and Charlie Kaufman all have huge fan bases, and if it works, that's great. If it doesn't, we'll just go and follow the traditional route. Well, we initiated our campaign. We clicked it on live on the first day of Comic-Con of that year, which was 2012, and when we got down there, we started handing out all these postcards just to advertise to people about our campaign to pledge. Halfway through the day, while we were on the floor of Comic-Con passing out cards, people started coming up to us and saying, "Hey, are you guys the Charlie Kaufman and Dan Harmon project?" And we're like, "Yeah, we are." We're like, "We already pledged." And, you know, in 9 days, we raised our goal that we had set, and we continued on raising more money for the entire 60 days that we had our window open.
And I think at that time, you set a record on Kickstarter for the most funds ever raised at that time for a film.
Yeah, for a film, exactly. And everybody was very excited about it. Of course, you know, it was only around $500,000, which is not a lot at all for an animated feature, but it was enough for us to start putting together our pre-production and start doing development on the puppets and on the style, and for our director, Duke, to work with the co-director, Charlie, who had written the script of Anna Melissa, to start working together to create a vision of what this world would be like and what it ended up being. What you guys will see when you go see the movie on the big screen is a very realistic depiction of our world in miniature. Mm-hmm. It's very realistically lit and constructed and even animated. It's animated on one, which means one frame at a time is very different each for the ultimate fluidity and movement. So all of that adds to the illusion of a full-scale character in a full-scale set.
As you mentioned, the film was written by Charlie Kaufman. It's based on an early play of his. And if listeners are familiar with some of his other work, like Being John Malkovich or adaptation Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, you'll know that he's really known for very distinctive narratives and characterizations. And it seems perfectly suited to animation, though. And this particular story, which, without giving anything away, it's about a main character who is at a point in his life where everyone around him looks and sounds the same. And I'm not sure it would have come off quite as well in live action.
One of the key components about this, you know, like you said, it was based on an audio play that Charlie had put together and was performed live at Royce Auditorium at UCLA back in 2005. It was a radio play performed with three actors on stage who were our actors in our movie, Jennifer Jason Lee, David Thewlis, and Tom Noonan. And then they had a live score on stage, and they had live sound effects as well. So it was all performed at once, and it only took like 45 minutes because as an audio play, you don't have time, right. You know, or you don't need time to break away for establishing shots, stuff like that. So it moves pretty quickly. And when it was then discussed to be adapted for animation, one of the key reasons for doing it in animation was the fact that, well, as you guys, it's a spoiler, but there are really only three characters in the film. One is Michael, one is Lisa, and the third one is everybody else, and you'll understand why when you see it. But that was something that really was most practically done with stop-motion animation and really wouldn't come off as well with live action because you would have to do so much makeup or other kinds of effects to make up for what we have to do to create the rest of the world.
It may have been artistically practical to do it that way, but technically, it was not practical. This took you over 3 years to make. And when you say that you have to film each frame 24 per second, how long did it typically take for someone to put together a scene or even a minute of film?
You know, with animation, every scene is different because it depends on the number of characters, the action that's taking place, and how many animators are working on it. And by that, I mean, this takes place, a lot of it takes place in a hotel room. So we created like 10 identical hotel rooms with 10 sets of puppets that would be animated in each one, each with a different animator. And the reason for that is so that you can be doing 10 scenes at once and try to get ahead. So sometimes, some days there was only 8 frames that a scene would get. And sometimes an animator would do a scene, review it with a director, and the director would cut back, meaning go back and actually like cut out frames that he didn't like. So they would have to go back and kind of like do some adjustments.
Reshoots.
You know, to do a revision in a way.
Yeah.
Right. So that's really why it took so long. it took long because the style that everybody committed to from the beginning was a very ultra-real style. So when you watch something on television, that's like if you watch Tumbleleaf, you know, on Amazon, or you watch any of like the More Oral or a Mary Shelley Frankie Hole that we produce for Adult Swim, that's for television, and those are shot on tubes, and they're shot kind of a little with some bumps and things here and there.
And it's not trying to be photorealistic either.
Right. It's trying to be very stylistic, and that's part of the charm. With this one, the charm is really in how subtle everything is and how mundane everything is, because that's what's bringing Charlie's world to life exactly as he intended. And that's in the spirit of, like what we said, that's why we established our studio in that way, of doing what it takes to make sure that the artist is getting his or her vision on screen exactly the way they want.
It is extraordinary to see. I've had the pleasure of dropping in on you over the last few years, and while I couldn't talk about what I was seeing, it was amazing, even from the earliest little snippets you were showing me, how cinematic this film is. I think we're so used to animated films, one being for families and kids, and this is not. It's a mature film about a mature subject matter, and it is rated R. But as you say, it's very realistically depicted, and the lighting and the depth of field, the movement of the characters is all very natural, to where within moments of even those earliest shots you showed me, you forget you're watching an animated film. It's really an extraordinary thing.
Yeah, and during those 30 years that we worked on the film there in the studio, I'm also an instructor for University of Texas at an extension program they have there called UTLA. I would take my class and on a field trip to our studio every semester to look at Anomalisa in progress, and so they could see what it's like to produce a stop-motion feature. And all the students like were amazed. They really loved the miniature sets, the puppets, the detail to their hair, to their clothing, the wardrobe that was done in miniature. And then when I would show them the footage, they immediately just bought it. They totally committed to buying the reality of what was on screen and let go that they were even puppets because of how real the characters came to life.
Speak a little bit about the replacement animation here, that the technique for getting facial expressions and actually lips moving is an incredibly detailed and painstaking one. And last time I was out there, you were showing me some of the trays where you kept the faces of these characters,
right.
And there's literally hundreds, if not thousands, of minute changes to get the syllables and the eye roll or the
right.
Eyebrow raise or a blink, and you have to replace every one of those faces for every shot.
Right. Well, from the very beginning, when Duke and Charlie worked together to come up with this look for not only the world but also the characters, we had done different types of puppets before. We do different types of puppets for each project we work on. They're never the same. And we knew that these would be the most sophisticated puppets that we would have to fabricate for the reality of the expressions that we wanted to show on the faces. After a lot of discussion, it was decided that then replacement animation would be used. And replacement animation is basically, if it's for a face, you usually break it up into two. The upper face that has the eyebrows for eyebrow expression, and the lower face that has the nose and has the mouth for the mouth movements. So, you know, other larger companies have already started using 3D printers to start printing all the different pieces for replacement animation on their faces for their stop motion. So we decided that would probably be the most cost-effective way of doing it and provide the most real expressions. There's a lot that's said on our film on screen without actual dialogue. It's all done in the expressions of the face, the movements. And with a 3D printer, you can get so detailed. The 3D printer will print out even all the teeth in the mouth, in the partial mouth being open, things like that. And not only that, but each piece that's printed out of this powdered gypsum is also colored. And so when a tray of these faces are printed out and with their color, they're then dipped in super glue, which brings out the color and it cures the gypsum and makes them hard. And not only are the faces painted on the front, but on the back, each one gets a serial number, and so they can be tracked. And like you're seeing, like you got to see, there are these bread trays that we had all lined up, and each tray had about 100 faces, or face parts, like bottom parts or top parts. And so there were thousands done. You know, first there was a three main passes of happy faces, unhappy faces, and neutral faces, and then into the subcategories of slightly happy, you know, slightly upset. And then there are special poses that are done just for character Lisa singing, her special mouth poses for her singing, things like that, where it just required a 3D artist to go into the program, adjust the mouth slightly, and then just print out a specialty face part just for a specific segment or frame.
All of that detail and all of that work and time that went into that allows these characters, not only have you put them in realistic settings with realistic lighting effects and very cinematic look to what you see on the frame, but it allows these individual characters to actually emote like actors, which sets this film so far apart from most animated films that we're used to seeing, particularly stop motion animation. You talked about the conscious decision early on by you and your partners to go entirely independent on this production. It gave you incredible artistic freedom, but it was a real high wire act, I know, from a production and financing point of view over those last few years. This is the sort of film that I wonder if it could have even been made if there had been a studio involvement, or it would have been watered down. And
I'm glad you bring that up, because that's one of the reasons why we chose this project, because we had already done, you know, a few commercial projects. We had done the community Christmas special for Dan Harmon's sitcom, all in stop motion, and it went really well. We had done some commercials, and we did Mary Shelley Frankenhole season 2 for Dino for Adult Swim. All that went well, but while we were doing that, we were thinking, we need to be coming up with something that's a signature piece for us, for our studio. Mm-hmm. Now we're up and running. We've got some amazing artists here. We've got some equipment. And Dan and Dino have amazing amazing circles of friends who are writers and producers and all sorts of different creative talent. And it just so happened that Dino Stamatopoulos is good friends with Charlie Kaufman. And they spoke, and we were looking for friends that might have what we kind of like termed orphan projects, scripts that were really unique and special, but either too short or there was just something about them that just wasn't studio friendly, but they were amazing. And so that's how Anomalisa even came up. That had been performed, people loved it, but it was just like 45 minutes and it was an audio play, and it wasn't something that, you know, a typical studio person would say like, oh, that's a natural feature. Also, the subject matter is just really, well, it's Charlie Kaufman, so it's darkly funny, mm-hmm. It's kind of a tragic love story in a way. And so, you know, it's not commercial as far as storytelling, but it is incredibly moving, and that's why we also chose it. So, yeah, we had to be independent, because we knew this was a project that a studio would never make. And we thought it definitely deserved treatment on the big screen.
Of course, now with the critical success and hopefully the upcoming box office success, I'm sure your doors are being knocked down by all sorts of studios that want to replicate it now that you've proven the concept.
Well, yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it took 3 years to do this. And, of course, we have some people who are really interested and would like for us to knock out exactly the same thing for them in record time. And we're like, well, like, it's got to be the right thing. It's got to be the right budget for the schedule, because we know how much work it takes to do what we did now. And we're a lot wiser for it.
Well, Starburns Industries has certainly been making a name for itself and creating very distinctive productions and products. And I should mention that while Anomalisa has been getting all of these laurels, you all have another program that you've been working with the Duplass brothers and HBO, and I believe it's your show Animals, which had its broadcast debut, I think, yesterday.
That's right. We're really excited about that. We're working with the Duplass brothers, and we're working with two really creative guys, Phil Matarese and Mike Luciano, two guys from who were from the advertising world, and they came up with these amazing characters and did some shorts on their own. And they teamed up with the Duplass brothers and sold their series, Animals, to HBO while at Sundance. And it's a very unique style of 2D animation. It's like barely any animation. It's very subtle. But all the storylines have amazing character voice talent, and a lot of it is just ad-libbed humor, and it's really funny. So I hope everybody's able to tune into it and take a look.
I'll be checking it out this weekend, as well as getting out to the theater to see Anomalisa on the big screen that just hit the Cinemark at Cielo Vista here in El Paso. After all these decades of watching you watch movies and make movies, I couldn't be happier for you and your partners, and just so proud of what you've accomplished. I know you all have persevered through a lot to create Anomalisa, and I'll be one of those ones holding my breath during the Oscar broadcast. Best of luck.
Yeah, thank you so much. We're really excited, and I'm probably especially excited that it's opening there in El Paso for you guys to watch. And I got to warn you guys, or just a special note, that this is a rated R animated feature, and so, you know, it's not necessarily kid-friendly. No. Not that they would be afraid of anything. They would just probably not be interested in the story.
Thanks so much, James, for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you very much.
I've been discussing the stop-motion animated film Anomalisa with one of the film's executive producers and El Paso expat, James Fino. Fino is a partner in the animation and production company Starburns Industries, and the company's highly praised and Oscar-nominated film Anomalisa has just opened in El Paso at the Cinemark Theater at Cielo Vista. And you can view a trailer for the film and get a glimpse of Anomalisa's incredible stop-motion cinema world online at anomalisa.com. You can learn more about the work of Starburns Industries at their website, starburnsindustries.com. On Film's producer is Norma Martinez. For more of my conversation with James Fino, log on to this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.